Hi, I'm Tara Lynn of Geek Saga Entertainment, and welcome to Hot D Takes. This podcast series covers HBO's House of the Dragon episode by episode with myself, an avid reader of all things ASWAF, and my friend Manny, a Game of Thrones fan who is unsullied, aka has never read the books, being your stalwart hosts. So first things first, you can find me on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and Twitter at A Geek Saga.
And I'm Manny, the aforementioned unsullied co-host, and you can find me on Facebook and Instagram at Manissimo Art. Thanks for joining us for this episode, which we will cover House of the Dragon Season 2, Episode 3, titled The Burning Mill.
As a reminder, expect spoilers from the episode we're covering, but less obvious, there will be very minimal book spoilers from Fire and Blood, which is, of course, the source material for House of the Dragon. We'll start with an episode summary, then cover what we think are the main hot takes from the episode, and conclude with an episode-specific favorites roundup.
We also have a rating system that we will, like true Targaryens, fill in when and where we please, or not at all. And that system includes rating things on a scale of 1 to 10 Targ eyebrows.
Just one last piece of business before we dig in. Don't forget that Geek Saga Entertainment has a Patreon. With 10 tiers ranging from $1 a month to $40 a month, it offers tons of ways to support us and receive some great perks in return, including near immediate post-recording access to our video, unedited video recordings of Hot D Takes at the $5 a month and up levels, and then early access to the edited podcast only Hot D Takes episodes at $3 a month or more. So check it out at patreon.com/geeksaga_entertainment.
And now it's time for the long and the short of it, our weekly episode summary.
If you thought we'd have to wait a bit to see what the titular burning mill was, well, no worries there. Right away, we meet Riverland residents Davos Blackwood and Aaron Bracken, here to use their long-running family feud and current opposing loyalties to properly decimate each other's households. Of course, Baby Gon calls it a win because the Brackens back him and they apparently officially started the battle, but his counselors are quick to inform him that both sides took heavy losses and the whole to-do doesn't really look good for either side. What also doesn't look good? The fact that the Green Council aren't all on the same page, squabbling with each other as well as disagreeing with Baby Gon to the point where Alicent has just about had it and actually chides them like she's all of their mother. Oh, not to mention Baby Gon's stacking of his Kingsguard with dudes who just lounge around on stairs and want to take him out drinking. More on that in a bit. Anywho, on Dragonstone, Rhaenyra is burying the Carguile twins together despite some protests, while Rhaenys is there to give her some much-needed counsel. Because obviously good old Otto would never have allowed Aerys to be sent on such a mission, which means hotter heads are prevailing in King's Landing. But perhaps Rhaenyra could have a little chat with Allison and try to dial things back? And hey, Rhaenys isn't the only one offering intelligent commentary because Missaria was, in fact, the person who warned of Aerys's arrival. It looks like she'll be sticking around for a while because she likes that Rhaenyra has shown mercy, and Missaria's comment about Sea Smoke being restless because the dragon is lonely doesn't seem to go unnoticed. Unfortunately, not everyone is happy with Rhaenyra. Rhaena Velaryon doesn't exactly love the idea that she has to leave Dragonstone behind to go babysit a passel of kiddos in the Vale. Baela tries to encourage her, and hey, Rhaena does also get to take some dragon eggs along with her as well, but in the end, let's be real, Baela definitely has the way cooler job. I mean, listen, she gets to dive bomb coleslaw on her dragon Moondancer, and that was for sure a sight to see.
It certainly was. Absolutely. Because, yeah, Coleslaw took his leave of King's Landing along with Alicent's brother, Gawain, and somewhat sizable force to head up to the Riverlands and figure out what to do about this whole Bracken slash Blackwood thing. Plus, of course, take Harrenhal, which apparently everyone wants for some godforsaken reason, because it's nice in the springtime. Daemon is in fact already there. He plopped Craxus down on one of Harrenhal's towers and claimed it for Rhaenyra. Militarily blonde, what, like it's hard way? Unfortunately now, he has the consistent leaking ceilings, visceral nightmares, and creepy women wandering around prophesying his death. Might be making him regret his decision. Perhaps not so much as this dude named Ulf surely regrets his decision to admit that he's a bastard Targ and then proclaim his support for Rhaenyra to his buddies at the pub right before Baby Gon busts in with his Kingsguard pals for a drunken night of debauchery. Or maybe not as much as Aemond might be regretting his decision to lay around and be vulnerable with Madame Sylvie once Baby Gon catches him doing so and viciously mocks him for it. And that's setting aside how much Rhaenyra surely regrets risking her life to sneak into King's Landing and have a chat with Alicent. Alicent, who might regret some of the things she's done that helped usher them to the brink of war, but who we guess doesn't regret them enough to renege the whole "I totes heard deathbed Viserys say Aegon should be king" platform. So, war is it then? Probably next week? Maybe? We suppose while we're waiting for the war to actually start, we'll get into this week's hot takes. Hot take number one, the Battle of the Burning Brackwoods.
Yeah, I titled it that way on purpose.
That was good.
This is an interesting take on the battle from the text, which the episode took its title from, the Battle of the Burning Mill, of course. And it was between House Blackwood and House Bracken. But it was an interesting take in that in the show, they had these two young dudes getting in a tiff about the border of their lands. And that leads to them like adding each other regarding which side of the Rhaenyra versus Aegon fight they're on. And then like, bam. It just cuts to post-battle devastation. It's also a different take on how the battle occurred. I'm not sure how I feel about it. Like, in the end, I think it doesn't really matter, and I don't know how much I actually care. But in the text, Lord Samwell Blackwood, who is actually the head of House Blackwood, sent raiders into Bracken lands, which caused Sir Aemos Bracken to march on Blackwood territory in response. And then the Blackwoods surprised the Brackens while they were like camped near this mill. And the scene we saw on the other hand makes it look like these young kids just had words and then giant battle. Of course, later in the Green Council meeting, Aemon does say that the Brackens took it upon themselves to attack the Blackwoods because the Blackwoods declared for Rhaenyra. So it's a little bit confusing as to what they were trying to say or do here with this stuff, but the timing was also different. Like, don't get me wrong. Admittedly, I totally understand why they opened the episode with these scenes, but this battle in the text was actually supposed to have taken place after Daemon takes, quote unquote, Harrenhal. And again, it doesn't really matter that much. But I mean, I also think they could have opened with Daemon landing Caraxes, the windy boy, on top of Harrenhal, and it would have worked just as well. I don't know. I know why they did it. I'm not saying I like disliked it or I'm arguing with it necessarily. It's just interesting that they seem to have moved it up in the timeline a little bit. I don't know that it matters. Just pointing out that it's a difference that was pretty, well, I guess I'm saying pretty blatant, but I guess it depends on how closely people have like continued.
It was a
to,
really
like,
good. Yeah. I mean, I can see like, okay, if you were like just doing it for like filming purposes, I can definitely see why they started the episode with that. It was a really good opener. It wasn't, you know, so it kind of gave you a little, I don't know, a little fighting relaxation before the craziness that's going to be happening.
Yeah, I mean, the reason why I'm kind of on the fence about it is I do feel like what the texts say could have been truncated and or combined with this portrayal to make for a more interesting slash slightly more action-packed situation than just the two kids squabbling, particularly because we literally get no battle. It's just two kids fighting, threatening each other, and then bam, field of burning dead.
That's what I liked about it, though. Remember,
yeah,
I'm that guy, you know, like, yeah. I just like, I don't need to watch it, but the way it transitioned from them just squabbling to just full on murder, you know, I was like, yeah.
And again, like, that's what I'm saying. Like, I didn't hate it or anything. I was hoping, I watched the after the episode stuff, and I was hoping that they would say something about why they placed it where they did, why they made the decision to portray it the way they did. They didn't. It's not really a big deal. It's just, you know, it is cool that we got some Bracken Blackwood action, quote unquote, sort of, so to speak, because that was something that wasn't really talked about much in Game of Thrones, but is not a huge part of the Song of Ice and Fire, like the main five books, but it's there quite a bit. Like, there's a whole thing with Jaime and going to visit the Blackwoods. I believe they're like not doing well and the Brackens are doing well, whereas before the places were switched earlier on where the wow, I keep Brackwoods. Now I'm doing it to myself. Christ. Just looks like last week all over again. Anyway, also just a quick side note, both Davos Blackwood and Aaron Bracken were, at least as far as I know at this point, characters who were made up for the show, which again, I don't care. It doesn't really matter if you ask me. I thought that was an interesting little like tidbit.
Yeah, like I said, I thought it was like a really good opener, and it was like, I guess it was weird because it was just like kids fighting each other. And that's what I think was like, oh, okay, it's just a bunch of kids, they're just going to tease each other. And then when it transitioned into the other scene, that kid's literally got a fucking sword through his neck. I was like, wow, okay, shit. Yeah, well, all right, yeah.
Remember the last time we saw kids tease each other in this show? It's all fun and games until Aemon loses an eye.
Until Aemon loses an eye.
It's all fun and games until Aaron gets a fucking stick in the neck.
Stick in the neck, exactly. No, I thought it was good. And I loved the fact of like the transition. We didn't have to watch people getting murdered brutally. It just kind of was like, oh, this is the outcome of their stupid little squabble. So again, it's good writing on their part. Great presentation. They didn't have to waste 15 minutes on a fight scene. You know, they literally just did a nice 10-second transition and that was it.
Or so, like X amount of budget, honestly. I have a feeling we're going to get plenty of battle stuff coming up. Possibly even really soon. So
they're just saving their money is what it is. Yeah. We're going to save it for the next one.
Like, do we really need to see the Brackens and the Blackwoods having at it for 15 minutes? You're right. I don't think we do.
No, I wouldn't care at that point. I was like, look, guys, I'm going to be honest. I don't know who any of you guys are. So, you know, like, whether you guys fight or not is completely irrelevant.
It's like if you don't follow like WWE or UFC, you know, it's like just walking into somebody's house and they're showing that shit on pay-per-view and you're like, where's the beer, guys?
we would be the travelers on that road. And I'd be like, hey, who do we go for? Like what side? Like, who's the good guys? Who's the bad guys?
Yeah. And at this point, we are still Team Black, I believe, but like in general, I don't think you'd know who had declared for who unless you were like actually part of Team Rhaenyra's like council or part of the Green Council, whatever. I don't know, whatever.
Exactly.
All right. Hot take number two, newsfeed update. Daemon Targaryen is with Caraxes at Harrenhal. I really need to try and make like a Facebook style check-in post for this, honestly. Yeah. I want to do this. Or maybe it's like, it's not just he's with Caraxes, it's like Daemon Targaryen is being haunted with Caraxes. Yeah, it's like Tara Lynn is eating lunch with my love with Dean Newberry at whatever restaurant we're eating at. Exactly. Dog House.
Yeah. Manny marked himself safe from Chipotle.
Oh man, because Daemon has officially checked into Harrenhal and nothing went as planned.
I thought it was really good though. There was some haunting ass shit there, which I thought they did fantastic
from beginning to end. Like every minute you see him there, at first he's wandering, he's like moving through this like seemingly abandoned wreck of a dark castle with just his sword, and every noise is like whoo, whoo.
And the water dripping and everything is like distracting. So to even like look around for somebody else or to even see, it's like you hear this water drips. Is it footsteps? It's weird. And everything's echoey in there. It's crazy. Mm-hmm.
They did a really good job, to be honest, a better job, I think, of showing the sort of like haunting of Harrenhal that Arya was like so worried about / maybe scared of in Game of Thrones. But in this episode, it like really looks and feels that way the whole time. Every scene with him there. I guess except for maybe when he's actually in the Great Hall with the Castellan.
It's great. I do love the haunted feel of it. You know, it's just right from the start watching him move through this place. It's super eerie, honestly. Like I wasn't super familiar with Harrenhal. I didn't really know what he was walking into. But yeah, I don't know. There's something about a dilapidated castle that's just haunting.
And then like I literally like laughed. I don't want to say like laughed out loud, like LOLOL, but I laughed technically out loud when he busted into the Great Hall and he's like, I'm taking Harrenhal. And it's just the Castellan and like a few dudes in there. And the guy's like, yeah, okay, whatever.
Sure.
Take it. I don't care. There's really not many people, like hardly anyone there at all. The Castellan just hands it over. Also, he's kind of a smart ass. Like he talks shit about Laris Littlefooter. Love that. Love him.
Yeah.
I think his name was Simon Strong. I'm Team Sir Simon Strong all the way. And not just for him talking shit about Laris. And the whole thing is like, you just walked through this castle. How the fuck did it catch on fire? Obviously, this guy did it.
Yeah.
Thank you for that extra confirmation. Also, he was kind of like purposefully slow about calling Daemon your grace rather than my prince, which first of all, what the fuck, Daemon? Rhaenyra, as far as I know, never said you could be your grace too. If you're listening to this, please correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm fairly certain that never happened. And he agrees to it at first, but then he stumbles over it the next time he's supposed to say it. And it's like, I think think that was on purpose. Like a little sarcasm there, I hope, anyway.
Absolutely. And that's the part like that makes it curious to me is like, what is Damon doing here? Like he's trying to fly around now and have people give him whatever shit because he's like a king, I guess, you know, but he's not. So I don't know. He's just a royalty by proxy, I guess.
Yeah, he's her consort. He's not like a your grace of his own accord. Yeah. Unless she has him crowned with her, I believe. Well, and I'm basing this on like actual real life monarchy. And I know this is fiction, but now you can start by talking about his dream because I know you were really excited about.
I was excited because number one, it was completely fucking haunting. You have this girl sitting there sewing the head of this baby back on and it turns around. And who is it? It's Millie Alcock, man. The original fucking Rhaenyra. I love her so much. So that was really awesome. I wish we got to meet under better circumstances again. But I guess, you know, baby's head's got to get sewn back on, I guess.
Yeah, speaking of that, what the fuck? We talked about this in our last episode. I was like, yeah, we'll never have to see it again. Literally the next week, what the fuck? Never thought we'd have to see this creepy dead child thing again. And here we go. It came on screen. And I was like, no, look away,
and it's,
look away.
And it's like closer up.
And the skin is all like gray.
And young Rhaenyra is just like sewing this stuff. Like I hated the scene because I was so happy to see her again, but it was like under such bad terms where I was like, oh man, let's just put the baby away. Like,
oh yeah. Well, and it also, what's interesting about it too, I think, is that what it says that it's young Rhaenyra who he's seeing and not the Rhaenyra he married and current Rhaenyra. It's young Rhaenyra, which is like, oh, I don't know how I feel about that. I feel a little weird about it, to be quite honest, for obvious reasons. Hopefully they're obvious anyway, but she was really important to him and whatever. It's a creepy child thing. I never wanted to see it again.
Yeah, the creepy child thing was a bit much. I don't know. Maybe his dream was just associating. This is Rhaenyra when she was young. Here is a really young baby that you killed.
Yeah. But also then he's like associating young Rhaenyra who he like made out with, right? Like,
yep.
Anyway, how fitting maybe that Alice Rivers, that's the name of the woman who Damon saw her in the Great Hall briefly, and then she appears to him in the Godswood when he like wakes up from, I guess, sleepwalking. That's what it looked like from his dream. And she tells him, you will die in this place. She's played by Sheela the She-Wolf from Glow. Her real name is Gale Rankin. I haven't really looked into like all the people who are playing the new characters in this season. Maybe I should have. Maybe I'm like a bad viewer for that, but I never do that because I kind of like being a little surprised, hopefully pleasantly surprised. And I do like Alice a lot from the text. So you're a huge Glow fan too. So I thought you would also just appreciate.
I
loved
it. I definitely appreciate it. I was very excited when I saw her. I was like, yes.
I didn't even recognize her at first. I looked it up and I was like, oh shit. Like that's why she looks familiar.
Yeah, it was one of those things that I saw and she just looked really familiar and I was like, oh, I gotta go back. And then I saw him and was like, oh shit, yes, like go up there and just pile drive his ass, like right now, throw him off the fucking ring, you know, like let's fucking do this. I was very excited.
And for those of you who are listening and have no idea what Glow is, check it out on Netflix. It's a show about female wrestling in the 80s and it's great. It was canceled before its time, but it still is more than worth watching for the, what was it, 3 seasons that we got?
It was 3 seasons. Yeah.
Part of the reason why I think she was a little bit, she looked familiar, but not quite recognizable is because in Glow, she is dressed as a wolf person for most of the time and not like a furry wolf person is like the easiest way I can think of to describe it. Anyway, moving on.
Hot take number 3 today on Hot Deed Takes. Which small council is worse, Baby Gons or Rhaenyra's?
I'm going to interject for a second to say, have you watched the show Evil, the TV show Evil? I think it's on CBS, which I guess means it's a Paramount Plus show. It has the guy who played Luke Cage in it. He's like one of the main characters. I'm blanking on his name. The main woman character had a big part in Westworld. Blanking on her name too. It doesn't really matter. But anyway, if anyone listening has watched the TV show Evil, I had to say that listening to Baby Gons small council members talk over each other very much reminded me of the daughters in Evil doing the same. And like, this is something Dean and I have talked about when we've watched this show, is we think these girls have like an amazing acting coach because it's literally like four young girls talking all at the same time. And that was what the small council was. It was just a bunch of old men talking at the same time, talking over each other, whatever. And Allison's exasperation is real, y'all.
It was good, man. It was good.
I mean, was it though? Like, was it? Because
no, it was good because it was chaos. Because I want them in chaos, yeah, you know. So yeah. I'm totally okay with that. But yeah, it was like completely fucking disorganized. It just goes to show like how ill prepared they're gonna be when the time comes, because they just have no idea.
Let's be real. Good old Otto would have taken hand of that shit way real faster. Quick. Like fucking Coleslaw was just sitting there like, durr. And Allison was the one that had to speak up. Which go Allison, honestly, in that respect. Mm-hmm. The problem is like, yes, the fucking Green Council isn't doing so hot, but also, like you said, which one is worse? Yep. Maybe Gons or Rhaenyra's, because the Black Council, there's that one guy who is like way too fucking pushy about the dragons. Just literally the only good thing about anything with Rhaenyra's council meetings was Rhaenys.
Oh yeah, the side eye.
On Rhaenys fucking point again.
Yep.
On fucking point.
She just knows, man.
She knows all. She sees all.
She sees all, man. She is all. It's like you see them side eyes, man. You know, it's over, man. It's like, shit, she's on to me now. It was fucking stupid, man. The one guy just being way too pushy about the fucking dragons.
First of all, Rhaenyra being like, hey, yeah, what, you're going to send me away and run the war without me? Fucking treason, assholes. I do think that was like maybe a little bit of a step too far. They weren't doing it yet. They were just discussing it. So I feel like slamming down the treason hammer.
I think she was just mad. I think she was having a day and she's fucking pissed. And then everybody is like talking shit. And now they're trying to almost, I guess, a very kind of put her on the sideline so they can do whatever it is that they feel is better or whatnot. I can definitely understand that anger, I guess.
Yeah, no, I mean, I understand it.
Treason.
I just think the treason hammer was a bit much.
Yeah, it's a bit much. But, you know.
But again, Rhaenyra shows her own strength. And then after she leaves, Rhaenys is like, hey, guys, she's wearing my grandfather, Jaehaerys's crown. He's had the longest rule of any king in Westeros. He was like the wisest king. She just kind of like leaves it open ended, right? Like just says the thing and walks out. And again, Rhaenys, I love you. Like I almost gave her her own hot take for this stuff. But then I was like, she got a hot take last week. Got to rein it in a little bit, especially because we have these two councils, these literally two opposing councils who are also in the same fucking boat. They're all just being messy. It's hilarious when it's just the fucking Green Council, but then when it's Rhaenyra's council as well, it's like, wait, no, I don't want this to also be bad.
It's just in disarray, man. It's like nobody knows what to do anymore. Fuck, man. You know, this guy fucking on his dragon ate my kid, and then my fucking husband goes out and kills their fucking baby. And I feel like that just like ruined everything now. And now everybody's just kind of sitting there with their thumb up their ass because they're just like, we don't know what to do. Like, and I think in the end, I really think that like Rhaenyra and Allison really don't want to go to war. You know, they just want to let this shit fucking... Rhaenyra wants her throne. That's her throne. I know she doesn't want to get it on a big pool of fucking blood. She just wants it because it's hers, you know? And then Allison's not going to give it up because fever-ridden Viserys said something about a fairy tale.
We'll get into that for sure. I want to say the thing about these two councils and all the kind of posturing, especially this entire episode, really, last week was a lot of feelings. And this week was a lot of, I guess, posturing maybe isn't the right word, but it's like in Street Fighter, right? You got the two characters bouncing back and forth across from each other, back and forth, and you're just waiting for it to go fight.
Like, yeah, exactly. It's going to be the next episode, hopefully.
Oh my God. Okay. Oh my God. Hot take number four, dragon seeds must watch their own necks indeed. As much as I respect that Ulf backs Rhaenyra and Jace even, maybe don't be going on about this while drinking in a King's Landing bar, my dude.
Yeah.
Like, it's one thing to be like, yeah, I'm a Targaryen bastard. Like, I'm half brother to Prince Daemon. And then also to be like, and I back Rhaenyra, and like, Jaehaerys is you know, the next true king after Rhaenyra. And I don't know that there's like a ton to say about this hot take, but the reason why I wanted to make a point of it is because there have been some hints about possible bastards that could be considered dragon seeds already, because they have, in this case, Targaryen and or Valyrian blood, because Valyrians have Targaryen blood. And that was mainly the talk between Allen and Adam of Hull and their vague comments about Corlys. I don't know if non-book readers caught on to that, but maybe because I have read, and I am sorry if this seems a little spoilery for those who haven't read, but maybe because I have read when they were talking in last week's episode, Allen and Adam of Hull, Corlys owes us. To me, even if you haven't read, that seems more of a, we're making a point here. Well, why does he owe you? Well, but anyway, I still believe that this is the first time that someone actually outright stated, I am a Targaryen bastard and BT dubs were called dragon seeds. Obviously, that's a paraphrase.
And the guy saying it out loud in a bar, getting drunk and just like saying these things. It's like, dude, some things are just best left to inside thoughts.
Well, yeah, but he had to get these other dudes to buy him a drink. Not that it mattered, because then, you know, Aegon walked in and bought the whole bar drinks, but still, he didn't know that was going to happen.
All right. Hot take number five. Oh, yeah. There's a baby gone we know and don't love. First, baby gone listens to Larry's little footer's quote unquote advice. Like, seriously, that guy.
Yeah, what's up with him, honestly?
Yeah. Yes, this is a side note, but what the fuck is Larry's plan? Is he just mad because Allison has coleslaw now, or is he just trying to stir a pot because he can?
Again, that is a side note, but for real, does he know about Allie's law? He does not ship Allie's law, so he'd be big mad, and so he's, like, stirring a pot? Or is he just doing it, like you said, because he can? I really don't know with him. He's weird and creepy, mm-hmm. and I hate him, and I hate looking at his face, and I hate hearing his voice, and I hate everything about it. What did he say to Aegon? He was like, well, there's some people who say, yeah, you should go out and fight because, you know, you're the brave king, whatever. But then there's others who say that maybe they're in the shadows, like, trying to push you to go out and fight so that Allison and Aemond can rule here in King's Landing. And I don't want to get into this now, but especially from what we know, like, from later in the episode, Allison has some issues with Aemond. But even if she didn't, there's been no proof of that from anything they've done, particularly this season. I'm not saying that Allison thinks Aegon is, like, the best king and super fit to rule or anything, but the idea that Littlefooter over here is just, he's fucking good old Gossip Otto now. Wasn't he the one who put the idea in Aegon's head that, oh, well, Otto was your dad's hand of the king?
Oh, yeah.
He was. So he fucking killed off good old Gossip Otto, and now he's writing in his stead. And I'm using the term writing, like, figuratively, obviously. Oh, my God. Anyway, fucking Littlefooter. And Aegon listening to him is just... And also, now he's the official master of whisperers. Like, Aegon, baby gone, my boy. Like, yes, we don't like you. And we're back to, like, being able to easily not like you from this episode. But also, what the fuck are you doing? Making this guy your master? Like, putting this guy on the council? Ugh.
There was, like, a lot of things. I felt like they kind of started off the season good with, like, baby gone, because it made me question, you know, where I was like, oh, okay, great. But now this, it was like, you're just an idiot and you're a bully. I know that shit with Aemon is, like, weird and shit, but, like, the way he went in there and just kind of, like, fucked with his brother, like, I didn't like that. I was like, you know what, dude, I don't know.
Like, sure, he looks like a good dude to the small folk, whatever, regular people. Yeah, he walks into that pub and buys it out, essentially buys them all drinks, great, fine, whatever. But then he drunkenly bursts into that brothel, also does not even remember Sylvie's name, then cackles about Aemond's presence, and even more so that Aemond is still with and or attached to his first.
Yep.
Gross, dude. I mean, actually, yes, I take that back. Do be gross, okay? Baby gone, do be gross, because I don't want to feel bad for you like I started to here and there in the first two episodes.
Exactly. And it was such a shame because he walked in just all personable and he's just like, hey guys, drinks on me tonight. Yay, our king, you know, like, he just bought us all these drinks, you know, and that's fucking great. But then he just went right into, like, asshole mode right after it. And even for someone like fucking Aemon, who I just think is a pretentious piece of shit, but then just watching him get fucked with by his fucking brother, I was like, dude, you're being an asshole, man. And that's your fucking brother. Like, I don't give a shit if you're the fucking king. Like, you know, you're being a fucking dick. You know?
Yeah, I mean, he is a pretentious piece of shit. But as we talked about last week, we both really liked the fact that he was showing, like, some attachment to and vulnerability with Madame Sylvie. And now he has probably lost that for good. Exactly. Like, certainly in the immediate, but possibly for good.
Yeah. And, like, whatever bad person he's gonna be literally starts right there, because that was probably his only, like, solace at this point, to where it's like, this is where he gets to, like, feel at home and he gets to feel good. And now I feel like with that getting taken away from him, and now he's gonna have to go into full on, like,
it's like you're having a really deep conversation with a friend, either in person and somebody you're close to eavesdrop. either someone drops some eaves on you, or you're like having it in text or on a private messaging service, and they look in your phone and, like, see your conversation, like, and then make fun of you for being a vulnerable person. which is not a bad thing, then that gets taken away from you. I mean, I, like, when I was in high school, I had a diary and I fucking wrote everything in that diary and I hid that diary really fucking well. And at one point my dad decided, like, he thought I was doing something bad. P.S. I really wasn't. And he ransacked my fucking bedroom and closet and found my diary and read my diary. And since then I've never felt comfortable writing super personal shit. I still keep a diary, but I don't, since then I didn't write in it often. And I have avoided writing. I always think, well, if somebody ever reads this, what are they gonna think? Like, what are they gonna do to me? Now Amon's got that, and like with me it was like, okay, well now I just have to be uber careful. But with Amon, I feel like it's gonna be like, well now I'm just gonna be a dick. I mean, dude literally stood up fucking stark ass naked and we got to see his one eye, if you know what I mean.
yeah man, you know, I had the same kind of story, man. High school, the same thing. I kind of confided with this girl I was dating, said a lot of bunch of personal stuff, and then literally we weren't even broken up and she just made fun of me and told everybody. And so when Amon is walking out of that thing, believe me, that was a very recognizable scene for me. Because that was the day that I shut down and I shut off to where I was like, no one's going to know anything about me moving forward. And it was like that for like 30 fucking years. Nobody knew anything about me for like 30 years just because of that one thing. So that walk that he's doing out, it was like, bro, I recognize it.
The difference there being between what happened with you and I and the type of people we are in general is we were like, okay, we're just going to shut down. The difference with Amon is I feel like not only is he going to shut down any sort of vulnerability he might have had with Sylvie, but now he's just going to... He's going to Danny it. He heard the bells, man. He heard the bells and now he's going to burn it all.
Exactly. I feel like he's going to go ruthless after that. Now he's just going to go ruthless because now he has even more to prove now. You know, now he's like, shit, I have to really be the fucking guy that people fear. And no one's going to fear the guy who, which I don't see the problem with. Like, okay, you go to a brothel and there's one girl that you like and you feel comfortable with. Why would you not just do that all the time? That's who you're going to be with just under those circumstances all the time.
I mean, just to circle it back to, like, we've been talking about Amon here, obviously, but the whole point of this is it's Aegon, Babygon. Hi, he's the problem. Yeah. It's him.
He's the problem.
Babygon, we were feeling a little bit bad for him. Now we aren't anymore, I'm pretty sure. So...
yeah, and I think the reason that that whole scene kind of steals the whole scene is because this is when you get to see Amon, like, it's when he's made... pretty much as a person, because now what had happened in there is going to kind of dictate who he is as a person moving forward.
To be fair, I think that a lot of who he is as a person was already set, but he still had that one thing, that one, like that one connection he made with a person, that one person he could be vulnerable with, that he was vulnerable with, etc. And now that's been taken from him. So what's going to happen next? And guess whose fault it is? It's fucking Babygon. All right. Hot take number 6, badass Bela for the win. First of all, damn, those moon dancer shots. Last week, we waxed on a couple times about the windy boy. We have no nickname for moon dancer because we haven't really seen moon dancer. It doesn't really matter. All I know is, oh my God, like dive bombing them. And then like those shots from above where you see moon dancer's wings spread out and it just such a pretty coloring. I remember when we were covering the very first episode of House of the Dragon, and I didn't really love like that opening shot with the dragons. I thought the CGI was kind of meh. And the rest of season one was really good. But now we're getting more than just like close-ups. We are getting these like absolutely gorgeous scenes. But yeah, oh my God, Moondancer and Bela is so badass. And the only disappointing part about that scene was that Coleslaw escaped.
Yeah, dude, I was like, just burn the forest, do it now, just burn it all, burn the whole forest. Just do it.
That's
like,
I would just thought too, and I knew it probably wasn't gonna happen, but also here's the thing, it's all gonna catch on fire. And to be fair, so she was acting on Rhaenyra's orders, and Rhaenyra's orders were to view from afar. Of course that means that when Bela's giving them the intel, Rhaenyra's like, could you be certain it was Cole from such a great height? And Bela's like, it's not such a great height, your grace.
What a delivery too. She delivered that line so good. I was
this whole scene was fucking perfect, and Rhaenyra like eyeballs her eyeballs but with a Z. Bill's just like, you said not to engage, so I didn't. Exactly. And as much as Rhaenyra's small council is bleh right now, that one council member who's like, we commend Bela for her sharp eyes. Like, yeah. yes we did. Yes, we commend Bela for her sharp eyes. Oh, it was so good. I just And I love that we're getting all this Baela stuff. Like, we got that really great scene with her and Jace last week. We get this of her just being a straight up badass.
And God, man, she just looks so fucking glorious on that dragon. You know, you see her, like, the colors of her, of what she's wearing, that platinum hair, and like, oh my gosh, it's just fucking art is what it is. I'm like, it looks so fucking cool.
Like I said, the only disappointing thing was that she didn't just...
Always like, look, just make a circle and just work your way inward. Just work your way inward.
I don't even think she'd have to do that. Like, she saw exactly where they entered the forest. She could have, instead of ordering her dragon to like immediately go up, skirt up a little bit and start burning. Again, I know why she didn't. She is following her orders to
kind of
a certain extent, to the extent that she's not the one who is causing the war.
Yeah.
That hasn't quite started yet.
Yep. Christ. But it would have been nice to, you know, see that coleslaw on a nice, like, hot dog bun, you know, roasted.
Coleslaw on pork. Exactly. With a good, like, mustard sauce from South Carolina or vinegar sauce from North Carolina, if that's the way you go. Oh, my God. And they do say human tastes like pork.
Oh man, now that is a cuisine that I'd love to dine on.
I'm sure that's a cuisine Moon Dancer would have loved to dine on.
Okay, hot take number 7. Welcome to the club, Rhaenyra. She finally joins the Sneaking into King's Landing club. You know what? It just seems so easy. I was like, wow, man, you know, I can just put on the fake mustache, just kind of walk into King's Landing and be like, no, my name's not Manny. My name is Danny.
You don't even need a mustache. You just need like a hoodie.
I just need a hoodie.
Or
I think
a hat.
Yeah, dude. They're like, hey, that's Manny. And I'm like, no, wait a minute. And then they're like, oh, that's not Manny. He wears glasses. Let him in. You know? What the fuck? Oh my gosh, dude. How many sneaking in and entering we have already so far? It seems to happen a lot. And it's like, I don't know about the security that you guys have here, that people just be walking in and out. And I mean, Damon showing up.
I mean, they don't have CCTV. So
no, they don't. But, you know, I mean,
and they don't have have social media. They don't have photographs. So, yeah, when Masari was like, people don't know what you look like. It's like, yeah, well, she's right. Yeah, they really don't.
True, actually. Like, fair enough. All right, guys. So who did it better? Jaime sneaking into King's Landing in Game of Thrones? Damon sneaking into around King's Landing in his crimes cloak? Or Rhaenyra in her septa getup that didn't even fully cover her hair, sneaking not just into King's Landing, but into the freaking great sept of Baelor in this episode?
All of them are ridiculous. Like, as a viewer of a TV show, not one of them was unrecognizable. Probably Rhaenyra did it the best, because minus, like, you could see the... Yeah, it's like when you're wearing a wig and it's not, like, pulled forward, or you haven't pulled your hair back. You're not wearing a wig cap, right? Like, you don't have wig tape or toupee tape on, like, holding shit in place. Minus all of that stuff, you could only see, like, the little corners of her white hair over her ears, under her little wimple, or whatever they call it when you're a septa.
Yeah.
So I guess probably her, but still... Fucking brazen, man.
Well, I feel like hers was really brazen because it was literally daytime.
Mm-hmm.
And she's just walking around with her face showing. Because at least with Damon, it's like, you don't know it's Damon.
And it's nighttime. He's usually wearing the crimes cloak at night. Yeah.
Exactly. Now, I feel like Damon was way more obvious. Because it's like, hey, look, it's in the middle of the night. And there's this guy wearing a cloak.
Wait, hold on. This wasn't sneaking into King's Landing. But Aemon in season 1 did also wear like the cloak pulled over his head to go search out Baby Gon.
Yep.
When Baby Gon was like at the, they were looking for him at like the child fighting pits.
That's
but that
right.
wasn't sneaking into King's Landing. That was just
sneaking around.
It wasn't like Aemon at that. It wasn't like he was like, you know, what some people would call the usurper, which is, you know, where Rhaenyra is. But I mean, really, like, I got to give Rhaenyra props for being brave enough to actually go and try to see and then see Alicent face to face. But it's also not the smartest decision.
And yeah, not to I don't know, not exactly the course of action that I would have taken, but I guess maybe that's why she was able to get in there, because no one's going to expect something like that, you know. Just
Rhaenyra Inquisition.
Exactly. Exactly. It's like, I'm just lighting candles, guys. What are you talking about? My name is not Rhaenyra, it's Bunera. It's different.
That said, her whole conversation with Alicent watching it, I was like, oh my God, this is like every like schnat argument between family members ever. I know you are, but what am I? No, you are. No, you.
It really felt like that when they were talking.
Your son killed my son. Well, my grandson's dead. Or I don't remember exactly what Allison said. Like, I know Rhaenyra said like your son killed my son, and Allison then like, or maybe it was before that Allison said something about Jaehaerys, but obviously Rhaenyra was like, dude, you know that wasn't me. And I think Allison also for sure fucking knows that it wasn't Rhaenyra. Yeah. She knows that Rhaenyra had nothing to do with that. Not directly. Mm-hmm. That she never would have ordered anything like that, et cetera, et cetera. But still, it was just like, oh my God, you guys, like, just... I just want to like put you in like a fucking 8x10 cell and force you to have a conversation. And I guess this is in a way what this was. They have to be quiet. They can't do or say like too much. Mm-hmm. Like if they had been alone in a private place versus in like the fucking Great Sept of Baelor, maybe more things could have been hashed out. Obviously, that was never going to happen. Probably could have.
No.
Allison refusing to really hear or talk with, or I don't know, try at all is just so very Allison, when Rhaenyra is the one who took the risk to do this thing because she knew that a letter, even if it got to Allison and wasn't seen by anyone else, would never suffice. I mean, she said that to Missaria. Like, I could send her a missive. That's never going to suffice. Yep. She has to hear it from my mouth. Rhaenyra took all the risk.
I think what I really liked about that scene is that it reminded me of the good times they had when they were younger together.
More... It was actually a mirror of the scene between the two of them in The Great Sept in season one. But yeah, no, you're right. It's a song that reminded of the good times. It's a song that reminded of the best times. Oh.
Yeah. It was definitely cool because it reminded me of like, you know, when you have family members that fucking hate each other and they fight, but then they can like sit down and just have a quick fucking conversation like they've known each other their entire lives and they're not gearing up to gut each other. It was just like, okay, this is fucking weird. I think that Allison was more surprised than anything else. Like, oh my God, why the fuck are you here? You know?
Well, like, and Rhaenyra had like the knife on her and Allison's like, I could scream for my guards. And Rhaenyra's like, yeah, you could. And they'll kill me, but I'll kill you first. And then she's like, oh shit, I started this badly.
Yeah, exactly. Like, hold on, let's start over.
Maybe I shouldn't have started this by like holding a knife in your side. I don't know. Maybe. Yeah. However, especially us viewers knowing what we know, Allison thinking she had Rhaenyra for a moment when she's like, well, Viserys on his deathbed told me that he wanted Aegon to be king. She calls him the prince that was promised. Rhaenyra's like, wait a minute, what? And also, first of all, Rhaenyra, this is like Fight Club, okay? You're not supposed to talk about Fight Club. And now you've talked about Fight Club to both Daemon and now Allison. It never gets you the fucking reaction or response or whatever that you want it to. So maybe stop talking about Fight Club. But yeah, Allison mentioning the prince who was promised thing, and Rhaenyra's like, oh my God, he talked to you about the Song of Ice and Fire. And Allison, it's like surprise Pikachu face. Now Allison has taken over that meme. But yeah, then Rhaenyra says like, it was a story. This is a story. It was a story my father told me. It's about Aegon the Conqueror. You see that like that dawning of realization. And then the immediate shutdown of Allison being like, no, absolutely not. Tell me how you feel about this. Maybe it was less that Allison was like shutting down the idea that she misheard it and more about her shutting down the idea of like, we can fix this.
I think it was definitely shutting down the idea of we can fix this, because that was one thing that Allison told her that was totally correct, where she was just like, look, it's too late. They have definitely gone like a bridge too far at that point, to where it's like, there is no coming back from this at this point. It has to continue exactly as it was. Now, did Allison realize that? Yeah, okay, I fucking read it wrong. Yeah, oh, absolutely. And we know that's going to weigh on her ass.
Well, I hope it is anyway. Jesus.
Yeah, but no, but like at this point, man, it's too fucking late. Two dead fucking kids. You have people fighting with each other and taking sides, you know, and all this kind of shit. Dude, war is fucking coming, dude. And that train has left the station and the brakes don't work. It ain't stopping for anybody. Yeah. And I think that's what it was. It wasn't so much the shutdown of like, oh, I don't believe it. It was definitely, at least the way I took it, was definitely the shutdown of, I can't admit to that because of how far we've gone right now. There's no turning back from this, you know? So it's like, you have to stick to your guns and keep believing whatever that lie is, whether Allison believes it was a lie or not. She has to believe it.
On her part, it wasn't a lie to begin with, right? Now she might understand that it was miscommunication. I think to call it Allison lying is, and this is not me trying to reboard that. I'm not boarding that Team Green propaganda train. Let me be very clear. But I don't think Allison was ever really lying. I thought she heard what she wanted to hear. And I think you're probably right. One thing I wanted to touch on about this conversation was Allison's comment, you know what Aemond is. That was like interesting to me because in season one, when Aemond gets his eye put out by Luke because he was like going after, I don't remember if it was Baela or Rayna. I think it was Rayna. Allison is, I mean, she's in fucking mother bear mode and whatever. So when she says, you know what Aemond is, it's kind of like, really? I feel like you should be saying, you know what Aegon is. That was an interesting kind of admission on her part that she also knows that Aemond is the true danger, which of course, even Daemon understands that Aemond is really the true danger out of the two of them. But interesting admission on her part. Wasn't expecting that.
Nope.
No one expects the Aemond Inquisition.
No.
How many times can I make that reference? It's not as good as my Jay-Z references from last week, I'll be honest.
The takeaway for me there was that Allison realized, you can see it in her face, that it dawned on her that she heard it wrong. But the problem is, can't go back. Everybody's already moving in that direction. That would mean that both of their children died for no reason. Or both, you know, her grandkid or whatever. And it's like,
yeah, but also like, okay, so a couple kids died for no reason and we're their parents, so we're upset about it, but now you're gonna put the whole fucking realm into war. Oh, yeah, just saying.
But I think there's a part of Allison too that just wants to not feel weak also, because she was just the king's queen or whatever and baby making and stuff like that, and she has to feel vulnerable. This has to probably be the first time where she's not just feeling vulnerable, right? I always think about that scene when everything went down and then Rhaenys comes up with the dragon, remember, in that scene, fucking, and just like sits there and stares at her, forward eyeing her on the dragon, right? And like, she didn't have to kill anybody. That's why I love that scene so much. It's like, because me being just dumb, I'd been like, oh, I would have just killed them all. But it's like, why kill them when I can just put the fear of God in their hearts forever,
and also like show like, this is how weak you are. A prisoner of your household was able to escape, was able to go into the dragon pit, get her dragon, bust it through the floor of the dragon pit and fly away.
And here's your entire line of people. I can just smolder right now and your story ends right here. And she did.
My God, I gotta be honest. There's that part of me that is like, maybe Daemon was right about that. Gotta be honest. At this point, gotta be honest. You think it's time for our favorites roundup?
Yes. Everyone's gonna know what I say already. Fucking Baela on the dragon, dude. The only disappointment I have is that she didn't fucking roast coleslaw. But goddamn, that was fucking just glorious and magnificent. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that was definitely my favorite. Definitely the Rhaenyra sneaking into King's Landing and having that conversation with Allison. The fact that it actually happened and like everything like built up to it, and it was like them talking, and then literally it was like two family members that are like supposed to kill each other, but they're having a conversation like, hey, bro, like they're just being family again for a quick second. I don't know. I thought that was great.
Mine is the just absolute silliness of her just like, I'm going to put on a Septa outfit and nobody will recognize me.
No one is going to recognize me.
I mean, still, like I said, though, this is probably the best of them all. Let's be real.
Yeah. Well, no, because she just did it very much in plain sight. And that's how you do these things, you know? So she was like really, really good with that.
I'm going to start with, I don't remember if I talked about this in our first episode, but I really did love the new opening credits when I saw them for the premiere. I thought the weaving of the tapestry, it felt a lot more like that sort of steampunky Game of Thrones opening that I also loved. One of the reasons why I loved that opening so much was because it did change depending on where you were going in the episode. Last season, it was like, it was fine. I didn't dislike the opening credits or anything, but this season, I liked it when I saw it for the first episode, but I skipped it last week. I'm mad at myself for skipping them last week. I feel like an idiot for doing so because I realized when I actually watched them all the way through this week that they added scenes from each episode to the tapestry. Mm-hmm. So obviously I will not be skipping the opening credits again. The scenes that they added, it was Jaehaerys and then the rat catchers being hung from last week, which I thought was a, I thought the rat catchers hanging was like a weird one for episode two, but maybe it was just like, oh, this is probably the most obvious one we can show. And it's also directly connected to the one that we added from the week before. So yeah, we'll not be skipping those again for obvious reasons.
No.
Also, oh my God, yes, I was right. Missaria did return to warn Rhaenyra and she hasn't left and she now has a place at Rhaenyra's court. To be quite honest, I kind of figured that was what happened even more than I let on last week because book stuff, and I didn't want to be too obvious about it, but I also did still have that part of me that was like, well, I don't know, like, I don't, they're changing some things, and I don't know how much this necessarily, Missaria remaining, you know, around Rhaenyra necessarily matters for the story they're trying to tell in House of the Dragon, but super glad that she did actually return and warn Rhaenyra. I'm still hoping for there being some things between Missaria, and that's just me personally. I just like would love Rhaenyra to be like, yeah, Daemon's been gone for a long while, and like, you've been real good to me. My last one, while I feel bad for Rhaena for having to go play babysitter, she did have some dragon eggs sent with her. And that is very important, because three of those four dragon eggs were Dany's dragon eggs. When I saw them in the episode last night, when Dean and I were watching it, I was like, no, 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 wait, hold on, rewind, go back. And I looked at them and I was like, oh shit, those are definitely, three of those for sure are Dany's dragon eggs. So that was just a nice, like, Easter eggs, if you will. But I don't know if you noticed that, but I saw
I just thought that all dragon eggs looked the same.
No, no. Dean said the same thing. He's like, how can you be sure? I mean, well, first of all, like, look at who you're talking to. I recognize the colors, the cream one, the green one, and the red and black one. So I loved that.
It did make me think of it when I saw the eggs. Like, I was like, oh, I wonder. But then I was like, well, I mean, I don't know. Because, I mean, if I go to the kitchen and get an egg right now, it's going to look like the same eggs I had. I did remember my scene. It was it was the Aemon scene. That scene in the brothel when he had his little breakdown and just kind of walked away, just because I related to it. There was something about that scene that I was like, fuck, I know what this guy's feeling. And I feel like now it's his turn to make him into a little more of a dynamic character now, which is, I hope, where they're going with it, you know, where he's not just snarky, pretentious kind of thing, that he's a little more three-dimensional now. That's what I liked about it when they introduced that to begin with. I was like, okay, cool. He's not just a pretentious character. There's something about him. There's something to him. Now that they took all that away, I'm curious as to how three-dimensional his character is going to get now. Now that Daemon is just, they just stole that from me with Daemon now. Daemon's just like this bad guy now. He's like, ooh.
Well, to be fair, I feel like he did get back some of that depth in this episode with the stuff in Harrenhal.
Yeah, but one dream a personality does not make. Yeah. He had one bad dream. If he would have like made something more of it, then I don't know, but you look, I can be wrong. Maybe it's going to just, it'll be fine and he'll be three-dimensional again. You know, and I know I'm kind of picking on it a little hard. It's not like it's that bad or it's really wavered that much.
We did the thing again.
Yeah, we were going to just fly right on past that rating system.
Okay,
yeah.
No more rating the episode as a whole. Let's just stick to our favorites roundup. Opening credits, I am giving them a 10 out of 10 Targ eyebrows, because I love that they're adding new stuff every week. Missaria coming back and being the person who did in fact warn Rhaenyra, and she even was like, I tried and they didn't believe me at first. Oh my God, so great. I give that like an 8 out of 10 because I am pissed that people didn't believe her. I understand why they didn't, but 8 out of 10 Targ eyebrows for Missaria coming back. I would say like a 7 out of 10 for the dragon eggs, because I feel like it could have been a little more obvious. Like, I think if they'd shown them for like a couple seconds more, maybe more people would have, even people who haven't read the books would have seen like, oh wait, those look familiar. So 7 out of 10 on the dragon eggs. And what were yours? Well, I mean, Moondancer and Ayla.
10 out of 10. Absolutely 10 out of 10, dude. The Aemon scene, I'll give it like a 9 out of 10. I feel like not so much of the scene itself, but where it's going.
I saw like I think it was on Threads, whatever. Somebody was like, I would love to see Ryan Condon, I think is his name, the, you know, head of House of the Dragon, just kind of flip the Game of Thrones boobs thing on its head and just show a bunch of penis.
Just show a bunch of penis.
Do I want to see it? I didn't. In this particular scene, it was powerful. So yeah. I'm not going to rate sense. It, but I,
Yeah, it made sense for what they were trying to do, which is what I liked about it, because not that I want to see penis either. I'm not really interested in seeing most nudity on television anyway. I just don't care for it. I'm just kind of whatever, which is what I liked so much about season one, right? When Daemon takes, you know, Rhaenyra in this thing, you know, it's his brothel. And yeah, there's a little bit in the background, but it's not in the forefront where it's like, hey, look, these are boobs, you know, like it wasn't like that. It's like, okay, we just happen to be in a brothel, and
it wasn't that shitty male gazy shit from Game of Thrones. Period.
Yeah,
like
exactly.
That's what Game of Thrones was. It was male gazy bullshit. Oh, we're gonna have two women like perform like oral sex on each other and like have a dude fucking coaching them. Yeah.
Because I'm not even into that shit. You know what I'm saying? When it comes to stuff like that, you know, it's just, it's uncomfortable at best. But that's what I liked about season one, is that it wasn't in the forefront. So Aemon doing his thing and then walking out naked, I felt was really powerful. Did I really want to see it? No, but there was really no other way to do that. that was the only route to actually do that. And I thought it was fantastic.
Oh yeah, for sure. If he had wrapped a blanket around himself or whatever, it would have taken away from him just like kind of strutting out.
Exactly.
I will give Rhaenyra's sneaking into King's Landing costume, I'll give it like a 6.5 out of 10 Targ eyebrows. Daemon's crimes cloak works really well because he only does shit at night. Jaime, the joke about like Jaime sneaking back into King's Landing, that was not even right. It was Jaime sneaking into Dorne, not King's Landing. So if you're listening to this and you're like, what the fuck, Jaime sneaking into King's Landing? No, that was Jaime sneaking into Dorne, and Jaime's sneaking into Dorne costume was like a 2 out of 10 Targ eyebrows. Daemon's crimes cloak is like a 4.5 or 5 out of 10, just because like, sure, it clearly works, but only at night. But yeah, Rhaenyra was able to do this shit like during the day, and while it wasn't the greatest costume, you know, 6.5, maybe 7.5,
she pulled it off.
Yeah, in broad daylight. I just wish you some paint on your Targaryen white blonde hair. I don't know. 0 out of 10 Targ eyebrows for the fact that I had to see that fucking creepy dead child body thing.
Yeah, that was like, I have to give it 5 out of 10 because there was a reward to watch it, but it just wasn't like, that's cool, I got to see Millie again, that's great. I just wish it was under different circumstances. Like, just can we just wrap the baby and put it somewhere else so we can chit chat? You know, I'd prefer to not watch you sew the head back on.
Oh, I mean, I'm not talking anything about the nightmare as a whole or about Millie Alcock. I'm literally just talking about having to see that dead child body thing.
Oh yeah, no, I know, man. It's just for me, it's like, I think that it's like my friend, he read the books and stuff like that, and he's been watching the show and he's been listening to our podcast also. He's one of my oldest friends that I have, and he was like, what did you think of Blood and Cheese? And I was like, well, I didn't like it a lot. It's literally the murder of a baby. He's like, yeah, man, you know what made it so, you know, he's like, you know what made it so fucked up? It was the sounds. And I was like, yes, that is exactly what made it so fucked up. So in all honesty, when he said that, seeing the latex fake baby that is dead doesn't bother me half as much as when I think back to the sounds that was happening in that episode, you know, when they were actually doing it.
Yeah. Every week I say, I'm going to be better about inserting Targ eyebrow ratings. And I never am. Maybe next week. We'll see. As we close out the episode, just want to give a shout out to our heroes, to our patron, Tommy of the TKOK Podcast Network. Thank you so much for supporting us. And thank you to our listeners for joining us for Hot D Takes. Manny and I will be back next week to cover season 2, episode 4, A Dance of Dragons. I am going to try to get a book reader on with us for this episode because I have some feelings about what will probably happen in it. And I think that would be fun. And I say fun. And
wait,
like
that's the name of the episode?
Yeah, they actually released it this time. A Dance of Dragons. Yeah.
Oh.
According to the Google machine, which works a lot harder than that slowly tooting, losing steam green propaganda train.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, the Team Green propaganda train did lose a lot of steam this week. And that's your words, not mine. I thought I was being like funny. Oh, that Team Green propaganda train wasn't tooting so hard this week. And then you come in with the, yeah, it was losing a lot of steam. Yep, Manny won the pun game this week.
I did. Game of puns. I won it.
All right. For the most current news and updates about this series, make sure to follow at A Geek Saga on Facebook, Instagram, Threads, and Twitter. But also please consider backing our Patreon at patreon.com/geeksaga_entertainment.
Thank you for listening to the Geek Saga podcast. If you like what you heard, please check out other Geek Saga entertainment endeavors, including the Sagas and Sass webcast and podcast, and Ice and Fire Con.